What's up, people? This is JJ. This is going to be K-Fitz as well. We're going to talk New York Islanders, New Jersey Devils, Detroit Red Wings tonight, and a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite food and snack and beverage and all that stuff. Let's talk some hockey.
Frustration with some of the things the Stars do. They come out and blow a game out and then lose in overtime in the next. And getting ready to go back to school. How's it going with you?
It's going. Go Stars?
Go Stars.
This man talks to me like I'm a little brother because he has my entire life. And, like, I'm going, oh, I don't know if I can say that here. Go Stars. So, anyway. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, there's a little bit of a weird situation because, like, I don't want a friend of mine that lives in Michigan to hear this because, yeah, she's a Red Wings fan. And, yeah, But, you know.
Yeah, we got them tonight, don't we?
Yeah, and the last time we had them, we beat them 6-3, and I made sure to tell her about it, and yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, well, we can't really rely on that, though. I mean, the way they've been playing here lately, you just never know what you're going to get, kind of like Forrest Gump said about a box of chocolates.
Just don't eat the coconut ones, you're good. Told you I'd be in a mood today. Look, well, okay, so here's the thing. The Stars, they're about as consistent as, well, the Texas weather. They're about as consistent as the Dallas Cowboys. They're a Dallas team. Wouldn't you know it? And, you know, that's kind of what I use to shoot down trash talk about my other favorite Dallas team. I automatically go to, yeah, well, the Stars aren't much different because they can blow a team out 6-2 and then lose 2-1 or whatever it was. That was an exaggeration on purpose, by the way. But, you know, it's a Dallas team, and for whatever reason, they do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like the other night against, who was it, New Jersey, they were up and, you know, or I'm sorry, it was
Islanders.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, they dominated that game pretty much. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go to the very next night and they struggle.
Oh, no, that was the Islanders they struggled against. They dominated Jersey.
Jersey, that's right, yeah. So they dominated Jersey. You know, and don't look at that 6-2 score and think anything of it. By the time Jersey started scoring, that game was already out of reach, to be honest with you. And then they come in against the Islanders, and they're doing fairly decent. They're up 2-1, and all of a sudden, you know, in the third period, they let the Islanders eke back in there, as they always do. And then you go to overtime, and the bad part about it, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say Dallas is like fifth in the league in overtime right now, and the Islanders, if I'm not mistaken, when they put up the stat up there, I think they were dead last in overtime periods, and we let them score.
And here's the thing, too. Like, I gave up on that game 2-1 because my energy level was absolutely done. And that's another story for probably not the show. But my energy level was done. I'm like, 2-1, okay, yeah, we got this under wraps because New York's New York, and Dallas is Dallas. When they decide they want to clamp down, they clamp down. I wake up the next day and I see on TikTok, yes, TikTok, the Islanders, I follow everybody, they freaking won in overtime. That's how I found out. The TikTok video of the very goal, and I'm like, huh? And then you see Wedgwood. Wedgwood was doing the Statue of Liberty thing with his arm, you know, he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. So here's the thing. You can't ever place the success or failure on one person. So I won't. But what the heck happened?
Honestly, truly, you know, I will say this about the Islanders in overtime. They did pressure Dallas a lot more than I've seen any team pressure them during the overtime period. You know, Dallas had to pass the puck around quite a bit before they could even move into the Islanders' ice. I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, the Stars even had to change their lineup at one point before they even advanced the puck, because the Islanders were pressing them so hard. And then when the Stars did finally move in, you know, they get one shot off on goal, the Islanders capture the rebound, took it down, and scored. I mean, that's pretty much what happened.
That's all their overtime games. I mean, I don't want to say it like that because it kind of sounds a little bit harsh the way I said it, but it's kind of true. Like, they burp up the puck, spit up the puck, whatever you want to call it. They lose the puck, and then boom, it's in your own net. It happens every time they lose in overtime. Well, duh, right? But still, what the heck? Like, now you're at 6 overtime losses. Here we go with that. You're halfway to 14 or whatever it was last season. I can't remember. I don't want to remember, to be brutally honest with you.
Right.
But you're halfway to whatever it was last year now. 6 overtime losses.
Well, if you look at our last 10 games, we're 5-3-2.
That's still not very good.
No, not good at all. You know, we lost to Colorado in overtime. We lost to Nashville. One against Minnesota. One against Minnesota. Lost again to Nashville, won against Chicago, won against the LA Kings, lost against Philadelphia, won against Jersey, and then we lost again to Islanders. And, you know, yeah, there's some people that are going to say, well, two of those were overtime games, so at least we got a point out of those. But still, you know, once again, as we've discussed, and the same thing held true, you know, last season, these one-point games are going to come back to haunt them.
That's what I worry about. I really do. Because, like, as you probably learned in your experience with the Army, man, you go all out or you don't go at all. And
yeah,
the overtime losses feel like they didn't play to win. They just didn't play to lose.
No, and right now we are third in Central behind Winnipeg and Colorado. You know, it's fixing to start getting down to the nut-cutting time, and, you know, Dallas is going to wind up messing around and wind up being the odd man out.
Well, you know, this is going to scare you when I drop this on you, and I'm kind of afraid to drop it on you.
Oh, go ahead.
Dallas and Detroit, as it stands right now, looks like Detroit might be just a little bit better because you've got the Stars 27-13-6, right? 13-5-4 away. They're sitting right at 60 points, third in the Central. Detroit is fourth in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
53 points. They're 7 points behind us. Okay, look at the power play, too. Power play for the Stars, 29 of 131, which is 22.1%. Do you know what the Red Wings are off the top of your head?
21.8%, if I'm not mistaken.
These teams are dead even almost.
Right.
84.9 on the penalty kill for Victory Green.
Yeah, it's 13th and 14th ranked right there.
See? 5-3-2 versus 7-2-1 in the last 10.
And I don't know what's gone on with our face-offs this year, but, you know, last season we were first pretty much the entire season. This season we're kind of teetering between third and fifth. Right now we're third.
Okay, top five is all right.
It is, but, I mean, you know, those face-offs are crucial sometimes. And, you know...
Yeah.
And then when you look at the, you know, you talk about the last 10 games, as I just discussed, you know, the Stars are 5-3-2. The Red Wings are 7-2-1.
Essentially, that's 5-5 versus 7-3, you know.
Pretty much.
That tells me the Stars are slipping just a little bit.
You know, and it's an odd thing because, you know, they come out guns a-blazing in one game. And this has been the story of this Stars team this season. Come out guns a-blazing one game, and then all of a sudden, excuse my French, but, you know, drop a turd in the next.
So it's kind of like Bally Sports.
Which I've heard somebody else is looking at getting the rights for the Stars, Mavericks, and... Who else is it? Stars, Mavericks, and another team. Yeah. Oh, Rangers. Yeah. Stars, Mavericks, and Rangers. Is it, I don't know. You probably, I saw you, you're the one that had kind of posted the article on it.
Yeah. It looks like they're doing in addition to Bally Sports. It'll be on Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah. There you go. Amazon Prime.
So, I mean, I'm not sure the inner workings of that just yet. So I'm not going to act like I know everything about it, but it looks like it might be doing both this coming season, not this season, but the next
season. Yeah. That'd be a big plus, you know. I mean, Bally Sports has just been horrible this season. I mean, I've missed so many games because the app's not working. It's ridiculous.
See, here's the thing too. Like, you know how family time's big over here, right?
Right.
Well, we'll do evening hockey because, God bless my parents, they know I want to be watching the hockey game, so they'll turn it on in here. We'll be watching the pregame. You have to hit okay on it so it'll advance. We hit okay on it the last game over the weekend, right? And we missed a whole freaking period. Again. So I wasted my parents' time. I mean, they won't tell you that because it's time together, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, you know, and I mean, I don't know how many times. And, you know, here's the thing that really kind of annoys me is when you go to Bally Sports and you have a Stars game on, which is a professional, you know, league, and you don't have Mavericks playing that night. You don't have the Rangers on or anything like that. but you have some off-the-wall sport that's on there that probably nobody in there is watching. I'm trying to think of the sport that they had on there the other night, but I was like, are you kidding me? Even my wife was like, they've got this on instead of a professional hockey team. I mean, it would almost be like, you know, the ice hockey curling. I know that's kind of started to get to be a popular sport in the Winter Olympics, but it would be like if they had a curling league and they decided not to show either the Houston Texans or the Dallas Cowboys or any NFL. You know, it's like, okay, we're no longer going to show Monday Night Football. Now it's going to be Monday Night Curling. I guarantee not as many people are going to turn in for Monday Night Curling versus how many people would be showing up for Monday Night Football. You know, it's like, why would you show this kind of sport over a professional league sport? And yeah, it's great if the app was working and you could say, well, but you could watch it on the app. Okay. But the app's not working. I don't know how many times I've gone to log on to the app, and it's the first time I've tried to log on, and I've done everything. I work in a technical, and I understand how apps work and things of that nature. I've cleared my cache. I've reset my phone, reset my apps. I've tried it on my tablet, on my phone, on my laptop. You know, I have the app on all three devices. So the first time I try it on one device, it tells me I've tried too many times. I have to wait 20 minutes, which that I don't understand. 20 minutes. Why are you making me have to wait 20 minutes? Because your app is goofed up. I have not tried to log on but one time, but your app is telling me I've tried too many times. And here's the stupid thing about it. The username and password is saved. I don't type this stuff in. It's all saved. So it automatically populates. So it's not like I've typed something in wrong. It's not like my caps locks were locked or something like that. No, it's all automatically populated. So I'll wait the 20 minutes and I'll try on a different device. And what do you know? Same thing. But then there's sometimes where it logs on perfectly fine. Like I'll come back the next night, no problem, go get on my tablet, and oh, there it goes, it works. And it's so, I swear, the Bailey's app kind of works well with Dallas right now, as well as Dallas is playing. It's just, it's frustrating.
You don't know whether or not you want to go to sleep early or attempt to watch the last two periods, because that's all you're going to get.
Really? I mean, I'm better off, honest and truly, I'm better off going to ESPN where I can at least listen to the game. Mm-hmm. I've never had a problem with that app. Never had a problem. And, you know, you can't say it's because, I use it through my TV provider, because my TV provider, I work for my TV provider, and all my other apps that I use through my TV provider work perfectly fine.
That's wild. That is wild. I mean, that we're a streaming house. You know that pretty well. And I'll say this because it'll mess with your head a little bit. Since we use antenna TV, now we can watch the local Allen Americans on TV. The Allen Americans, ECHL. Dude, for the baseball fans out there that aren't maybe well-versed in hockey, ECHL is the AA. Okay? AHL is the AAA. If you can watch the AA hockey team that's like right down the corner from you and you can't watch your pro team, that's cool, but guess what? That's
a problem.
Yes. And back in the day, they had TXA21 and UPN, and I can't remember what else because I was in high school. But, you know, they had Stars games all over, and now it's just Bally, and it's just like, I get it that it was for money reasons and corporate reasons, all that crap, but, you know, what about the people that, because of corporate reasons, they don't want to invest in freaking $300 a month cable or whatever it is, you know? Like, people don't have time to sit there and babysit it either.
Right. You know, it's funny, you talk about, you mentioned local ice hockey teams. So let me tell you something that happened to me this weekend. I was at a con this weekend, the ATG Expo in Waco. And because I do charitable cosplay, we go for charity. And anyway, while I was there, there was a gentleman who was walking around wearing a Waco Wizards shirt. And I was like, holy smokes, I hadn't seen, and it was like an original, not something that he just recently bought. Like, this sucker looked like it had some mileage on it. And we got talking, and I was like, man, I remember, God, I miss having local hockey here in my area. I wish they'd bring it back. I loved having the Stampede versus the Icebacks, the Wizards, the Brahmas, and all the teams that we played against. Those were some of my most fun memories that I could have at that point in time. And I really wish they would bring it back. Yeah, it's great that I've got the minor league team over there in Cedar Park that I can go see. But even still, that's still a 45-minute drive there and a 45 to an hour minute drive home. That can, especially when you don't get off till 7 o'clock at some point. Really can't catch too many of those games. But if I had one down the road, heck, man, come home, change, and hit it. I might miss the beginning of the first period, but still, it's still ice hockey. And then, it's nice that you can at least watch yours on local TV. We don't even have one here, so you're fortunate.
Oh, I'm very fortunate. Man, I've told you that very hockey team's helped me out quite a bit in my life too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a lot of love for that team, and they're owned by the Ottawa Senators, man. They don't care. They're like, oh, you want to write about us and your little bitty sports blog? Here, we'll share it. What? Huh? 20 viewers on that little post turned into like 200 like that.
So I'm looking at something right now. And I don't know if it's our defensemen or our players not helping our netminders out, or if it's just our netminders are just maybe not as good as we were hoping that we thought they were. Have you looked at our netminders' percentages? I mean, Jake Ottinger's got a GAA of 2.96. Wedgwood is at 2.98. Last season, at this point, Ottinger was almost one of the tops in the lead in that, and well over three. I don't know what's going on this season, but our netminders just are not. I don't know. I don't, and like I said, I don't know if it's just they're being out of position. I don't know if it's because they're being overplayed, needing rest. I mean, the bad part about it is, Wedgwood goes down, Ottinger's back in there, and they're still not willing to put Murray in to at least give Jake any kind of rest or anything of that nature. It's kind of crazy. What's your thought process on that?
I think they need to get that cleaned up, and they need to get it cleaned up like 2 days ago, because do you know who's all on the Detroit Red Wings roster?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got Comfort Cop, DeBrincat, Fabry, Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane. That guy. Dylan Larkin. He skated circles around us himself.
Yeah, he's leading the team right now with 18 goals.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know that 6-3 from the last time is going to be anywhere near what they get tonight. So I don't want to say that my fandom goes the way the team goes, because that's not true for me. I gripe about it and then I turn around and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll be there tomorrow, right? But after the blunder that was in the New York Islanders, dude, I do not feel good about Detroit at all.
Uh-uh.
And, I mean, you can tell me, oh, they're due for this, they're due for that. It was bound to happen because New York was heating up. If that's the case, whatever. You know, just hypothetical stuff from me. But it doesn't matter because a good team, yeah, it'll bounce back. But how many opportunities are you going to allow yourself to bounce back? You know what I mean? Like, if you clean their clock in New Jersey 6-2, which I didn't even see coming because I have a lot of respect for New Jersey. That's a good team. I mean, their goalie situation might be a little sketchy. It's a lot less solid than ours here in Dallas. But I didn't see 6-2 at all. So I was excited. And I'm going, okay, Islanders, back-to-back, yada, yada. Not that long of a ride. They should be fine, right? Logic tells you, okay, back-to-back, they're right across the river from each other. Big flipping deal. That's where my logic went. I went to bet at 2-1 and they lost. What are you going to do against Detroit tonight? Seriously, like, what are you going to do against Detroit?
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the thing. I don't know who's in their net because I haven't been able to watch them. They got Husso, they got Lyon or Leon and Reimer. I'm betting it's either going to be Reimer or Husso. I'm afraid of Husso. Ville Husso. He is good. He can steal a game against the Stars. And they got Petrie on defense. Ben Chiarot. Olli Maatta. Wow. I did not realize. Why didn't I realize he played for Detroit? Where was my head at?
I don't know.
Robbie Fabry from the Blues is now a Red Wing. I don't remember when that happened either. See, I don't know this stuff. I'm making fun of myself too. Shane Gostisbehere. Come on, man. This team has the potential to beat the brakes off the Dallas Stars. Potential. And you know, the parity of this league, I guess, is the right way to say it, is that history really doesn't matter. It's what you did for me yesterday. Or what have you done for me lately, really?
You know, and one thing that might have sparked the win of the Islanders the other night was their new head coach.
Oh, my God. Patrick Waugh. Patrick Waugh. Colorado Avalanche and who is it? Nordiques, I think.
Yes, when we played against them.
I remember him as a player. And I was just a little dude. I was a teenager too when he was playing. It's just like, wow. The man is oof.
I mean, he, you don't get 4 Stanley Cups and not be phenomenal.
Well, I mean, okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be good at coaching either.
That doesn't mean you're going to be good at coaching, but it does, you know, it does mean you understand what it takes to win.
Yeah, true. You are a winner. You were on the ice for that. Oh my gosh. Just the name Patrick Waugh with the New York Islanders to me means you're going to see a different side of the Islanders.
Yeah, well, and like I said, it definitely showed. The Islanders, if I'm not mistaken, when we went to overtime the other night, they showed a graphic, and I know that the Stars were 5th in the league in overtime period. And yeah. I want to say the Islanders were dead last. And I remember the announcers were even talking about it before we even went to overtime. And you could see right off the bat, like, I'm not kidding. I was actually kind of shocked at how aggressive the Islander players were going against, you know, the Stars during the 3-on-3 overtime period. Like, I personally think that aggression threw the Stars off their game because they, you know, generally speaking, when you play 3-on-3 hockey and your opposing team wins the faceoff, then you want to get back and get into defensive position and get ready for any kind of onslaught they might bring on. But no, that's not what happened. That is not what happened at all. And, you know, I think that's all attested to Patrick Waugh and possibly, you know, how, you know, with him being a former netminder, he kind of knows, you know, what to, you know, look for, especially in those overtime periods when, you know, granted he didn't go against any 3-on-3s because I don't believe they had the 3-on-3 during his time.
No. But
he definitely did deal with, you know, overtime periods and things of that nature and understood how important, you know, getting a team who's really good in an overtime period or in a period like that out of a rhythm. And I think that's what he did. I think they went aggressive at the Stars. I think it got them out of their rhythm. If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe I heard that the Stars, before they even made any kind of advance, had to actually change out players before they even advanced the puck into the Islanders' offensive zone. And they had actually won the faceoff and had control of the puck.
That's wild.
And the Stars got one shot on goal, you know, and, you know, the Islanders picked up the rebound and went forcing into, you know, Dallas's offensive zone. And that was all she wrote. I mean, the Stars didn't even have an opportunity to even get back into any kind of a defensive position. And, you know, the game was done. And like I said, I just feel like, you know, Patrick Waugh, you know, said, hey, guys, we're going in this overtime period. We have nothing to lose. You know, I'm a new head coach. I don't know if I'm going to be sticking around or not. You know, I just got put in this position. Everybody's saying they're crazy for making me y'all's head coach right now. You know, so let's go for broke. I want you to go out there and I want you to press them. Press them and get them off their game plan, and it looked like it worked, which is a shame because you know what? That's something that Coach DeBoer should have anticipated and should be working on when they are practicing on those 3-on-3s. You know, what would you do? What are you going to do if someone comes out and presses you? You cannot let something like that get you off your game.
And you know what sucks is they kind of presented the roadmap on how to beat the Stars. Just go right at them.
Yeah. I mean, really, honest and truly, I don't know if you've watched it yet, but you need to go back and watch that overtime period. You'll see what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I believe it. It happens every time they lose in overtime. Somebody just is like, okay, no, you're done. Bye.
And if I'm not mistaken, we almost lost the puck a couple times passing it around just trying to get some sort of a foothold where we can advance the puck.
Which is kind of questionable, in my opinion. Mm. And, you know, you can piggyback or you can argue this next point. It's okay. You know, I love you. So, you know, we know where we're coming from when we say this. But why is there... Okay, you got 3-on-3, which is a lot of ice. Why are you having problems moving forward with 3-on-3? Why? You got guys like Rupe Hintz, you got Johnston out there, you got Robertson, which, you know, those three people alone, creativity and speed, that's all you need. How on earth, with any of them at all, are you having problems moving the puck? 3-on-3.
But I'm telling you, the other night against the Islanders, they sure had a hard time.
And that gave everybody around the league the roadmap to how to beat the Stars. Just pressure them. Push them up against the wall, or make them feel like they're up against the wall, and you know what? They'll suffocate. That hurts. That hurts my heart.
This is
absolutely wild. Like, And you said they had to do a line change before they could even move the puck forward.
I believe so. Like I said, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so the other side of that coin with the Islanders is you bring in Patrick Waugh, who was a goaltender that won. And
oh, and Matt Duchene didn't even get a shot off on goal. He was going to shoot it, and the puck was taken away. And Horvat went straight to the net and got the goal in the overtime period. I had to watch it again.
Can you send that to me?
No, I don't think I can. It's on NHL.com on the game site during the highlights.
All right, I'll have to look on YouTube. It's probably there too. I mean, you got a name like Patrick Waugh as your coach. There's no reason to believe that they wouldn't have done that to the Stars, really.
I wish it was the whole overtime period though, just so I could see, but. It was 4 minutes and 27 seconds into the overtime period before we even made it into the Islanders' offensive zone.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There was 4 minutes and 27 seconds left in the overtime period. So it took us almost 30 seconds for us to even advance into the Islanders' offensive zone. And Duchene was taking the goal towards the net, and the puck was taken off his stick, turned over, and
Horvat
took it straight up. I mean, no passes, no nothing, just straight on in and scored.
Bo Horvat used to do that in Vancouver. He was a star killer. If you're unfamiliar with Bo Horvat, I highly recommend you watch his highlights because that dude is he's a killer.
Yeah.
He really is. And I mean that kinda agitated me when Vancouver let him go for pretty much nothing. I mean, it was a big trade, yeah, but it's Bo Horvat, you know, you gotta roll out the red carpet for him because the dude is good. And he always does that to the Stars. Like, he makes some noise one way or the other.
And, you know, here's the thing that kills me. We outshot them 43 shots on goal to 28. And in the third period, we outshot them 13-9.
That's wild. So, it doesn't matter how much they shoot. Their shots just counted.
Yeah, we actually had no shots on goal during the overtime period. They had one, and that one was one that counted. And I don't know why I thought Duchene had fired it into the goal and it bounced out, but no, I just watched that replay and puck was just taken off it right as soon as he was going to the goal. But of course, he was by himself. You know, there was no help, no one. For him to even, you know, try to pass to or anything of that nature. I don't know what in the world happened in that over. I mean, it just almost seemed surreal. You know, and the puck was just taken right off his stick. And I mean, I don't know. He just cut right through the Stars like they were nothing. Right through the Stars like they were just absolutely nothing. And Patrick Waugh, his debut, his win as a debut head coach.
That's nutty. Just having him behind the bench. Holy cow. That already changed the DNA of that team. And look, I'm a Stars fan. Obviously, I wouldn't have the show if I wouldn't, but I love hockey in general. And, you know, I've hit K-Fizz with some wild stuff that I was just completely weirdly excited about because this and that happened. And Patrick Waugh behind a bench, to me, would be like Pat Verbeek being behind the bench. I believe he still is. I can't remember with who. Or Martin St. Louis from the Tampa Bay Lightning being a coach. Like, that's cool because those guys were amazing players. And yeah. Even Wayne Gretzky, like, I geeked out when he was the coach the Coyotes. Like, all right. Something's going to happen, right? He was a beast on the ice. But only some people can change the DNA of the team, and I bet you New York is on the come up. Like, I'm not going to – I can sit there and bash the Stars like a typical Dallas fan does on social media. Or I could be like, well, look what Patrick Waugh did to the Islanders just that quick. Because what if that's what it was?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me how one person can change the atmosphere. Just one. And speaking of which, I've seen all over social media people saying that, well, we can't wait to see who we're going to trade to get these people out of a lull. What lull? Like, they're fighting.
Yeah.
They're fighting. They're near the top of the standings. Yes, they're inconsistent. Yes. But all that matters is, are you doing your thing on the ice? Are you trying? Do you...
And this game requires overtime.
At this point, do you trade anybody? Because I'll say no.
I'm going to go and catch this real quick. And yeah, it is the overtime period is on YouTube, just so you know.
Oh, thank God. I am happy for that because I haven't seen it. And part of me didn't want to because I... Ooh.
The Stars win. Yeah, I'm going to go and report this to you. Stars win it behind the net, being pressured.
Oh boy!
Pass, almost lost that when there. Oh, big time, almost lost it. All that was really. And hold on, I'm going to turn on some audio here because I think
overtime game they lost quickly.
At that point they were doing the line change. So yeah, so the
all sorts of problems to Hartley. Islanders in their second consecutive overtime game, they lost quickly in the game.
So right now, behind the net, we looks like we did do a change
on Friday night.
Duchesne's going in. Matt Duchesne lost the puck, taken right off his net, and that's all she wrote. So yeah. So originally, let's see, who was out there for the Stars?
God, Bo Horvat. Holy cow.
So, let's see, 91, 95.
Certainly, the coach has not an opportunity to talk about
Duchesne
on the three-on-three. No, now he's...
Or maybe they didn't do a line change. I don't know why they went off screen.
And see what
so the Duchesne Sagan line was out there.
Yeah.
All sorts of problems. So Hartley, Islanders are playing their second consecutive overtime game. They lost quickly.
That's why I got confused. They looked like they went over towards the bench, but they didn't.
On Friday night.
So, yeah, I mean.
This is carried in by Matt Duchesne.
That's still kind of nutty.
Like. They pressed them. They pressed them hard.
I mean, yeah. Does that?
Yeah, but I mean, let's see here. From the time we won the one, let's take a look here. So we won the faceoff. And I hate to say it, Harvett was the one pressuring. The entire time. I mean, he was applying the pressure.
You said Horvat or Hartley?
Looks like Horvat, 14.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's why I wanted to double-check, because
number 13 for the Islanders, I can't see his name, was really applying the pressure. Horvat was as well. So you got 13 and 14. Horvat and whoever 13 is, I can't see his name, or really a prime pressure. Right now it's Horvat. He's got, behind the net. Now we're coming out. We finally get to where we can move into an offensive position. Duchesne is pretty much by himself. Lost the puck. Oh, they passed it to Horvat. Okay, so pass to Horvat, and that's your goal.
I mean, yeah, they did it all right. All they had to do was spring Horvat, and he's gone.
So. Pretty much. And like I said, I think that pressure right off the bat, I think that threw the Stars off. I mean, they just weren't expecting someone to press them the way they did. Like I said, we almost lost the puck twice.
See, and that's the thing about the Stars, though. Like, you always, well, you hope, anyway, that they get the puck, and then they put the pressure on. But if they can't keep the puck, they're not going to pressure it.
Well, yeah, and when you do have the puck, you want to be able to keep some pressure on or at least press them. And like I said, we got pressed. We got pressed big time. And they, you know, the Islanders did not just sit back on their heels and play defensive hockey. They were definitely the aggressive offenders in that one. Let's just hope any overtime games anytime soon.
That's sad. Like, it really is. That tells me again.
Huh? I don't want to sit here and keep harping horrible things on the Stars, and people that might listen to this might think, oh, all these guys do is bitch, moan, and complain. You know, there's a lot of good things that's going on for the Stars. I mean, you've got Roope Hintz. He's got 20 goals this season. Pavelski's right behind him with 19. You know, we've got a lot of guys that are getting some good, you know, goals. I mean, we've got guys that are, you know, it's probably the most balanced Stars that I've seen in a long time for goals. I mean, you've got, let's see here, above 10 goals, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's wild.
And, yeah, so we've got 8 players who are 10 goals or more right now. And even below that, you know, you've got Jamie Benn, who's got 8 goals. For defensemen, we've got Harley, who's got 9 goals. And then you've got Smith and Steele with 5 goals, Radek Botsko with 3, and Delandre with 1. And then defensive-wise, we've got, you know, Heiskanen with 4, Lindell with 3, Hakanpää with 2, Lundqvist with 2, Suter with 1, and then, of course, Hanley's got 0. But, you know, when you look at this team, they're a very well-balanced team. And I hate to say it, I think that the one area that we're really missing on, and I don't know if it's because of lack of support or it's just that our netminders are just off this season, but, you know, it looks like, you know, our netminders are just not doing as well as they have, you know, in the past couple seasons, you know, and I think that right there is the thing, and especially not holding leads. You know, we get these games where we have these leads, and then we can't hold on to them. I mean, unless it's a 4 or 5 goal lead, you know, if it's just a single goal lead, you almost can guarantee that the opposing team's going to tie it up, because it just seems like opposing teams know that if they get into the third period and start applying some pressure to this team, that you know, you always want those teams that are kind of bend, don't break. You know, in football terms, you know, if you're playing defense against an offense that's moving the ball, that's fine, but you don't want them to score a touchdown. You know, you bend, you don't break. You get into a point where you can stop them and just hold them to a field goal. Well, in hockey terms, bend, don't break. Okay, you want to, okay, yeah, they're getting to these offensive pressure situations, but you want to be able to defend those and keep the puck out of the goals, you know, so you keep these close games, you know, where you win them. And unfortunately, we're breaking. And I don't know statistically, I'd have to look at it, but part of it is our netminders just don't seem to be on their A games as they have been in the past. And I don't know if it's because Ottinger had surgery in the offseason. I think it's his first major surgery, major injuries and things of that nature. Both Ottinger and Wedgewood have been out with injuries this season. You know, it's something that, you know, our coaching staff needs to take a look at. And, you know, maybe these boys need a rest, need a break at some point. And, you know, at what point do you say, okay, enough is enough, and let's just try this, you know, Matt Murray kid out and just see how he does?
I mean, oh, yeah, there's an illness going around there, too. Let's not forget that.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as your question goes, putting Matt Murray in, man, like, if you got a guy that's on the edge being ready, I'm gonna lift up your question and double it. Why wouldn't you? Because the Islanders are done. You know, you let that slip away. Okay, fine. Tonight you have Detroit, who you beat 6-3, which is, okay. That doesn't mean it's going to happen now, especially with the effort y'all put in with New York. If Ottinger and Wedgewood are both tired or on the verge of getting sick because of that illness going around or whatever the case, You know, Matt Murray being a fresh face might liven the place up.
He did the one time they did put him in, and he you know, he got him a shutout.
That's wild. I still can't fathom and figure out how the heck that happened. Like, did he do it on his own, or did the defense play with him too?
You know, part of it was the defense, but part of it was his head was on a swivel. He dealt with some massive shots in that game. I'll put it this way. He dealt with some shots that I think this season he would have gotten past Wedgewood or Ottinger.
I love hearing that.
I mean, honestly, I'm just being as honest as I could. I mean, if it were last season, you know, I would be like, no. I think Ottinger would have gotten those, no issues, whatever. But this season, there were a couple of shots on goal that I think would have gotten past, you know, Wedgewood or Ottinger. I feel that, you know. So yeah, I don't know so much that maybe in the later period, late in second period into the third period, I think maybe defense kind of had more of a play in it, because if I'm not mistaken, you know, the opposing team had very little shots on goal in that third period. But still, you know, at that point the defense was playing for him and didn't want him to face scoring opportunities and wanted to maintain that shutout for him. And I don't know why it is that they can do that for a Matt Murray, but for a Scott Wedgewood or a Jake Ottinger, it just seems like, well, you know, if we go to overtime, they can handle it, you know. And maybe that is the mindset. Maybe the mindset is, you know, we don't want to put this kid into a bad position or overtime position. So maybe they are going to play a little different for a young kid like that. I don't know why that would be, but mentally, maybe mentally they feel like if Jake's in there, they don't have as much to worry about.
Yeah, it could be a thing, because, you know, he, even when he was thrown into the fire, like, he commanded it.
Yeah.
He really did. Like, I remember the very first game he started, and I was like, oh, crap. They've gone to the well, and it's over. The playoff run's over, is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And both my parents looked at me and they're like, what? You're the most diehard Stars fan we've ever met, and you're saying it's over because a new guy's in net? You used to be hyped up about that sort of thing. And yeah, they're right. But the way it had gone, like, I didn't expect Jake to be able to hold up. And here he is, a starting goalie 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, later.
Yeah.
So.
Two years later.
Yeah, 2 years. Thank you. It was the year that we lost to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And
he got the starting nod the next season.
Yeah.
Last season.
What in the world? And he came out of there like he was, I don't want to say a hockey god on skates, but you know what I mean? Like.
Well, I think what hurt him was last season was his first season as a full-time starter.
Yeah.
And I think they pushed him too much. And I think they relied on him probably telling them, no, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. I got it. And many a times they'd said, you know, during his time in college, yeah, he would do that a lot where he would play back-to-back-to-back-to-back game. But college is different from the NHL. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like maybe they burned them out a little bit last season, which is sad, because and I think maybe they pushed him too much, especially later on in the season when they needed to rest him more. I think we could have pushed a little further in the playoffs had Ottinger been rested. I just feel like, you know, Ottinger started slipping right after that Minnesota series last season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the slip just continued all the way through the playoffs and through the, you know, games against the Golden Knights. And I think it carried over, because then he had, you know, off surgery during the off season and things of that nature. And I think all of that fatigue has carried over into this season. Then you come into this season and you try to play him again like it was last season, and he winds up getting injured. And then we've got Wedgwood, and then you start playing Wedgwood like he's Ottinger. And I don't know. I think if I have one criticism, really, because one thing I love about DeBoer is he's not afraid to change things up. Mm-hmm. As the key point, you know, he put Johnston on the line with Robertson and Hintz, and that's worked out great for Johnston. And I think he's very smart in that, and he's not afraid to change things up when he sees, okay, maybe someone's not playing the way that they should be playing or up to their level or whatnot. But my criticism is with the netminders. I think that he doesn't, for whatever reason, I don't know if maybe he just takes the word of the netminder and goes with that, as opposed to actually evaluating what's going on with this netminder. And I think if he would break it up a little bit more, you know, do more of a 6-3, you know, one that might, you know, or you know, a 6-2, you know, you break the games up. Okay, Andre, you're going to play the next six games, and then we're going to give the reins over to Wedgwood. And it doesn't matter who our opponents are, because guess what? Our netminders need to be ready to play against anybody. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth of it. Because you never know when Ottinger might go down. You never know when Wedgwood might go down. So you've got to be ready to play against everybody. And you cannot sit there and say, okay, well, this is our A goalie and this is our B goalie. Both of them needs to be A1 and A2. And that's the way it needs to be. You know, mm-hmm. You're very capable of being the number one goalie, and that's how you want it. So you don't want to sit there and play a goalie 12, 13, 14 games straight. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, six games, two games. You know, give your netminders a chance to get their feet back under them, especially, and I'm sorry, but that should have been done at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and
you don't kill your netminders at the beginning of the season. As the season goes along, then yes, you can increase the number of games that Andrew is playing, because now his body's back into a rhythm. It's back into that hockey rhythm. But honest and truly, I don't think Andrew or Wedgwood have been able to get in any kind of rhythm this season. I think they're both suffering because of this. I think Ottinger suffered because of how many games they pushed him to play or allowed him to play. I don't want to say pushed him, because I don't know. I'm not in that locker room. I'm not there. I'm not on the ice during the practice. I'm not there to say that they're saying, well, Jake, we really need you in that. And Jake's telling him, look, I really need a break. And I'm pretty sure it's more the opposite way. I'm pretty sure it's Jake saying, no, I'm good. And maybe it is the staff saying, well, we think you might need a break. No, I don't want a break. I'm your goal minder. I'm your net minder. I'm in net. And there's got to be a point when you've got to step in and say, look, Jake, we're going to give you a rest, and we're going to let Wedgwood take a couple nights, and then we're going to bring you back, and then we're going to just do this rotation.
I mean, there's potential in an 82-game season where they could both play 41, so why aren't they both playing 41?
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, and unfortunately, they're both really close in the amount of games they've played this season because of injuries. It's not because they've swapped them out. Ottinger's played 25 games. Wedgwood's played 22. And the only reason it's even that close is because Ottinger got injured. That's wild. And played 11 straight games, 11 or 12 straight games. I think it was 11 before they finally put Matt Murray in there. And Matt Murray played one game and pitched a shutout. And what do they do? They bring Wedgwood right back in. And then when Oscar finally comes back, what happens to Wedgwood? Wedgwood gets injured.
Yep.
I mean, even your prize stallions that, you know, you got out there that are, you know, running these races and whatnot, they've got to have that time for rest. You don't ever see the top horses that do horse racing. You never see them doing back-to-back-to-back races. You never see them going, you know, from track to track. You know, usually you've got, you know, weeks or months in between races. And, yes, they're practicing and stuff like that in between, but you're not running actual races because, you know what? You'll kill your horse if you do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just – the Stars are just really – you know, don't look at that 25-22 and think, well, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's 25-22 because of injury. I guarantee if Ottinger hadn't gotten injured, we'd be looking more at like, you know, 38 and, you know, and 12 or something of that nature. You know, I mean, it's not going to, it certainly wouldn't be as even as it is.
No, I fully agree. Like, See, now you got me trying to be careful of what I want to say, because if you don't believe in your 1A and 1B the same, like, and you start 1A over 1B the majority of the time, 1B shouldn't even be on your bench.
I agree.
And, you know, like, it makes you wonder what's so wrong. Let's say the roles are switched. Okay, let's say Ottinger is 1B, Wedgwood's 1A, and you ride Wedgwood as much as you can till the wheels fall off. My question to you is always going to be, why? If you have the 1A, 1B, you believe in them both, or you say you believe in them both, then why isn't 1B playing at all? And for that matter, back to what you said, why is 1A and 1B playing both till the wheels fall off when you have 1C going, hey, look at me, shut out?
Yeah. You know, both of them, so Ottinger right now, and this is what blows me away, is 13-9. 13 wins, 9 losses. Wedgwood is 13-4.
I think honestly, I would put Wedgwood in.
If this was last season, you know, it would be opposite. Wedgwood would be at 13-9, and Ottinger would be at 13-4.
Yep, that's true.
So I don't know what's going on. Like I said at the beginning of the season, I said this right off the bat, and I have been saying this, and I will continue to say this. There's something going on with Jake. He is just not playing the way he has. I don't know if it's he hasn't fully healed from the surgery. I don't know if they're just pushing him too hard. I don't know if it's going from the surgery to playing as much as he's played to injury. Because I hate to say it, you really kind of find out about a player when they face their first major injury.
Yeah.
You know, there are some players that will face an injury and come back and are never the same.
True.
Because that injury sits in the back of their head, and they're more concerned with not doing what they did before to get injured. And that's what they're thinking of is, I don't want to do that again. I can't face another injury. And they're not concentrating on what they need to do. And unfortunately, that's maybe a factor in what's going on with Jake.
You think?
It's possible. Like I said, right off the bat, the beginning of the season, I said, you know, he just didn't seem like he had that. He just didn't seem like he was snapping around and getting those blocks the way he was getting the previous season, you know? It just, you know, I hate to say it, in the previous season, Ottinger was kind of one of those guys where you got a goal on him, hold on to the puck, because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And the goals that they did get, you could actually look and say that was a defensive mess up that caused that goal. I don't know how many times our players would interfere with our goal minder last season, and the opposing team would get a goal because our team screwed up. It wasn't Ottinger. There were many times we'd lose a game, and you couldn't put it on Ottinger because that wasn't him.
Right. Defense has always been sort of a, a bugaboo or Achilles heel the last couple of years for the Stars. If it isn't the defense, it's the goalies. And if it's not the goalie, it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, but, well, unfortunately, I do got to get running. I got things I've got to go do today because I'm back to work tomorrow, unfortunately. So I'm going to leave it at my prediction for tonight. I'm going to say Stars are going to win. I don't think it's going to be as bad as the last time, the whole 6-3. I think this one's going to be more of a 3-2.
I'll say a one-goal game the other way because I have no confidence in them after New York. I don't know what the score is, but it's going to be a one-goal loss again.
Well, I'm just losing off the past. You know, in the past, the Stars have lost, and then they come back and won. And, you know, so I'm just going to go based off of that. I think that the Stars continue that trend of winning one or two, losing, and then coming back and winning the next one.
I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah.
We'll have to wait and find out tonight.
Yes, sir. You know I'll be there.
Yes, sir. Me too. As long as the app works.
Oh, we just had to take one parting little shot.
One final shot. But on that note, go Stars.
Go Stars. Thanks for joining, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're out.